Amen. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm just going to give you the title right off the bat, and that way you won't have to worry with it. In the 24th verse, and he said, "Who now rejoices," this is Paul saying, "who now rejoices in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Man, got to thinking on that, and it just come to me to fill up that is empty. Fill up that is empty. And we'll go back over about the 9th or 10th verse and come on with some of the scripture that Paul had written down and how he was bragging on Colossians. He had heard from one of his prison mates there, how that Erastus there, how that he had talked to him and found out that the church was doing good, that the church was growing and the church was following after the word of God. And he bragged on him. He told him, he said there in the 4th verse, says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints." So since he's heard that they are walking in love, they're walking in the faith of the Lord, walking where God wants them to walk. And Paul in prison there, and he said that his joy was full, that he's all excited about hearing about a church where he has passed through, and about one of his fellow prisoners there, that the church was doing good. And we'll go to the 9th verse, and he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And Paul had a great desire there, even sitting in prison. Paul wasn't for himself. Most of us, if we were in prison, we're all about ourselves. If we're sick, we're all about ourselves. If we got trouble in our home, we're all about ourselves. And if our washing machine breaks down, it's all about us. And if somebody else's breaks, that don't make a lot of difference. But when there's trouble in somebody else's house, it just don't seem to come home to us. But Paul had a little time to think there in prison, and he was thankful for how the church was doing and how that God was working. But then he said, "I pray for you always that you'll have knowledge and understanding of what God is doing, that what God is doing in our lives." And he said he realized that and I heard a message a while back, and it really blessed my heart, is if you really step up as a Christian and decide that you're going to be faithful to the house of God, then there appears Satan somewhere along the line to try to stop you. And then if you decide, "I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher, I'm going to study God's word, and I'm going to work with the young people in the back," then here comes Satan to knock you down. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And any time that you decide to step up for the glory of God, then it scares Satan. It aggravates Satan. Amen. It tires him. It gets him at a point, "I'm afraid I'm going to lose one, because that was an old sinner and he understands a lot of my tricks and how that I could tie him down." And he'll get up there and he's got saved and he's moving up and he's going to preach and he's going to teach and he's going to be faithful to the house of God. So there's afflictions, there's trouble. And I don't know what point you all call tribulation, but sometimes I think Paul went through some tribulations. His own didn't even want him. And they heard about him over the road, and he went in trying to preach, and they said, "Well, this is that man that persecuted the church. This is that man that went into the church and tore the church down and beat them down. And some of us he even killed. He closed the church doors. He done everything he could against us. We don't want him there." So Satan rose up against Paul, because he knew without a shadow of a doubt, better probably than Paul knew, Satan knew that Paul was going to win souls. And I thought about Paul, how he was concerned about the people in Colossae and how the church was growing and things beginning to do good. And you that have been in church any length of time, we look out and we can see where Satan has as I slipped into a church that was growing good and they lost the knowledge of God. Can I tell you something? God has never caused me no problem. God has never done anything but good to me. The church has never done, the real church of God has never done anything to hurt me. But it's those little things that Satan puts in our way that tries to stop us along the way. Honey, we need to realize today and have the knowledge of Almighty God that we're not serving self, we're not serving mankind, but we're serving what God wants us to serve, that we're preaching for the Lord. If I was going for Bill, I'll be honest with you today, I'd have thrown in the towel a long time ago. And I believe if Paul was going for Paul, because he came from fame and he came from power under the Roman Empire, he came from people backing him in high places, he came from people that loved him and cared about him, and he had power to shut them up, put them in prison when he wanted to. And he came from that down to nothing, amen. When the people that he come up to was afraid of him, they dodged him, they didn't want nothing. He even had to go into the wilderness and study the Word of God and realize what God wanted him to do. I'm afraid today that me and so many more don't come to the knowledge and the understanding of what our work for God is. I believe that we need to understand today that we're not first, that it's not all about us. It's not all about what I want and where I can go or what I can do, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants out of me. It ain't to build a name for myself, but it's to build a name for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I praise Him today. I praise Him today, and I mutter and I grumble sometimes, but I praise Him for calling me to pastor. I praise Him for calling me out of this world of sin and trouble and darkness and saving my soul. So I need today to get it in my mind that I'm willing to suffer the persecution and the trouble of the church, of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through and what my brother Paul went through. I need to praise God today that the devil noticed that I'm not a child of the devil. I'm a child of the living God. I need to be willing, amen, to suffer the persecutions that come my way without muttering and grumbling. And I need to take the example of Paul, and I need to take the example of Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them because they don't know what to do. But too many times today, and I see it all over the land, we see a young preacher jump up and he's on fire. God has set him on fire. And the Bible tells us in Timothy there, as we ordain a preacher, he tells us, sir, not to get a novice. And that's a young preacher. Too many times you get up there and God lifts you up and you can't handle it. Too many times the devil will come around and throw some snares at you. And I've seen one right after another throw in the towel and quit preaching because of their family and because their daughter run off or their son run off or maybe their wife run off and they throwed in the towel. God didn't do that, honey. Sometimes we get out on a limb by ourselves. Sometimes God don't want us to get haughty and high-minded. God wants us to stay at the foot of the cross and realize what we do, it'll have to be through the hand of God, the eyes of God, and the mouth of God. And what we do for the glory of God, it's got to come from God. It can't be through ourselves today. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he said in the 10th verse, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and in increasing in the knowledge of God. He said, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. We need to be a joyful bunch. We need to be a happy bunch. We need to be a bunch no matter what the world is doing, no matter what's happening in our life, no matter what our bills are, our sickness are, or our troubles are. We need to realize that we're just passing through. We need to realize it's all in the hands of God. I see children so many times that they run back to parents when trouble comes. And you know, I see us as adults too many times when trouble comes, we don't run back to our Father Jesus. We don't run back to the God of our salvation. We don't run back to where help can come from. We run in every other direction. Some of us go to the court. Some of us go to other people for help. Some of us go here and some of us go yonder. But God has got our answer. God has got what we need there. He said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" Let me read 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet." And meet means worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Neighbor, today I'm going to tell you something. We need the knowledge, glory to God, that it's a great gift that God has given us to sit in the midst of the church, in the midst of the children of God. And I thought his brother was teaching there. And we take it all for granted, but we've been in the desert places of Israel and Judea, and a tree in the desert was worth a fortune. A tree was worth everything as they were journeying and as they will give up. And we find out that even the devil set up churches in the groves where there's a little group of trees in the shade. It was hot in that place. And there wasn't much water and there wasn't much of anything that mankind could use. And they'd set up in the shades. And we take it for granted that we sit in the shelter of a church. We sit in the shelter with air conditioning and with heat and with running water. We take so much for granted today. What that they didn't have as they walked for the Lord. Things that Paul didn't have as he walked for the Lord. Things that Jesus didn't have when he walked the face of this earth that he'd done without. Today, honey, we suffer if we go 1 degree that way or 1 degree that way. I tell my wife, bless her heart, she's on the verge of freezing to death if it goes 1 degree the other way. Or if it drops the other way. Some of y'all say, "Well, it's like that." If it drops the other degree, the hot, they're burning up. I'm talking about they blistering. I wonder what we'd do in the wilderness of Judea where there wasn't no water and we'd have to walk and go. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'd make it. Would we? Would we? Come on, brother. Well, here it is, 5 minutes to 12 and I'm starved to death. Preacher, you got to let us out of here. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. We're soldiers. Hello? Neighbor, today we ain't got what we need to finish this race. Can I tell you, we've been saved. We've been saved, but we don't have the knowledge and the understanding that God will send a raven to feed us. Ooh, glory to God. We don't understand that God can spread his hand and be a little cloud and send the rain and the drought. Oh, we've read about it and we believe that happened over there. But how about at your house? How about at your house? Do you believe God can take care of your children this morning? Do you believe that only God has kept my house from burning? Do you believe that it's only God that kept me from wrecking this past week? It's only God that's kept my heart beating. Oh, hallelujah, church. I need to understand that when it comes to this sickness or dying air, that it's only God can take care of it. Amen. Listen to me, little children. You young'uns, your hormones will escalate. I guess that's the right word. And they'll run up and you little girls are playing in dolls one day and the next day you want a boy. You little boys the same way. You'll be running around a little car in the dirt saying, and then you want a girl. Amen.
Amen.
And you ain't got nothing settled up here because it's a whirlwind. How in the world do you know this, Bill? I used to be. It's been a long time. But I used to be a little boy, a teenager. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it took me to 26 years old and the Lord Jesus Christ to get it wound in and stopped.
Amen.
Till I could think and I could realize and I began to get some understanding of God's Word. If I made it to heaven, I had to be saved. And to be saved, I had to give it all to the Lord.
Right.
And to stay saved, I had to keep it in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There's so much false doctrine going on in our churches today. It's unreal, church. It's unreal what's being preached in our land today. They say, Bill, you don't need to come against that. When they preach a bald-faced lie, glory to God, I need to stand up against it. Amen. Because my brothers and my sisters and my neighbors and my children are dying and going to hell because they've had a lie preached to them and they believe it. I'm going to tell you, as he talked this morning, as Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he didn't tell her a lie. He didn't tell her a lie. He let her know that she didn't have the living water. That she had five husbands and the one she had now wasn't hers. She was living with them. Today it's all right to shack up, live with them. Live them a little while, divorce them, do whatever you want to do. I'm going to tell you today, glory to God, there's grounds for divorce and the Bible backs it up. And that's fornication. Anything else is wrong.
Amen.
Hello, church. We can have it or let it go by. That ain't for the 2020s, but it was back when the Lord wrote the Bible, amen, and spoke to people like Paul. So I'm going to believe it today. But let's change it to fit what we got today. I'm going to tell you, and I remember Butch said, he said, you've changed since you become a pastor. I changed from a deacon, and I had to.
Amen.
Because it was a different calling. I had a different devil after me. I had a different devil visiting my bedside at night. I had a different devil when I bowed my head to pray. I had people, different devils looking at me that I never realized was out there as a deacon. I found out that I was obligated not just to God, but to the church. I was obligated to my community.
Amen.
I was obligated because they're looking at the preacher more than they're looking at you. But that don't unobligate you. Hello, church. Because they're looking at you. And if they can get through to you, then they can tear down the preacher. Amen. Because old Paul said, there, I've heard good news from you and you're serving God and you're doing everything right and you've helped and you've done all of this. But I want to give you understanding that Satan can come in.
Amen.
He said, I want to let you know, amen, that trouble can come to your church. Trouble can come to your house. And he go on, we're reading in the 13th verse, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Neighbor, listen to what I'm saying today. And I need to get the understanding in my mind today that I've been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ from the power of darkness. I'm not under Satan. I don't have to follow Satan. Satan can't make me do it if I don't give in. I don't have to look up to Satan. Amen. I can stand against Satan if I'll submit myself unto God. Honey, too many times today, we're leaning to the flesh and our own understanding and blaming God for what happens in our life. Honey, I don't have to live for Satan. If I choose to, I can, but I don't have to.
Amen.
Because I've been delivered from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I've been translated, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. 15 said, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, has transformed us. He's redeemed us. He's delivered us. Why in the world we go back into sin? Listen to what I'm saying. Them that sat on the pews in the church, amen, are back on the bar stools today. Not saying they wasn't delivered. They chose not to walk under the deliverance of God. They chose not to be, Paul said he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. They chose not to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And every prison and the prisons they're going to, leaving Sunday night, Monday morning, the prisons that they're going to, everyone that I've ever been to, has got a fence around it. And it used to have barbed wire and three strands of barbed wire, but now it's got razor wire. And level 4's got 6 gates, 3 rolls of razor wire, rolls of razor wire and rolls of razor wire. So they'll stay in. And I'm going to tell you, becoming a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he took down them.
Right.
He gave me the word of God. He said, Bill, you can walk in the bounds that I've given you, which is the word of God. You can preach in the word of God. Amen. But there's an invisible barrier, and my word brings it out clearly. If you live in sin, that you're not one of mine. If you live in sin, I'll separate myself from you because you don't love me. If you keep my commandments, you'll love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If I can't love my brother that I've looked at straight in the eye, how in the world can I love God who I've not seen? He set some standards, glory to God. And if I choose to go out of them and go back after the lust of the flesh, it's not God's fault. I'm glad today, glory to God, that God broke down the things, and I'm glad that he made me want. He gave me something that I want to stay in his will. I want to preach his word. I want to serve him. I want to help Freddie. I want to help Greg. I want to help Butch. I want to help that one that's in need. Why? Because glory to God, I got some of the same stuff Paul got. Amen. Been touched by the hand of God, of the Holy Ghost power of God. And I care about people today. Honey, there's something wrong when we don't care about people today. Plenty in your mind today that your neighbor that's lost and undone without you is watching your life. And if you're not serving God every day, you're setting up a place in hell just for them. Amen. Amen. There's something required of a Christian. We've heard it said they don't have to pray anymore because they got saved. 16th verse. For by him were all things created, and that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So that tells me the wind that you can't see, invisible, he said he created invisible things. The devil that you can't see, he said he created invisible things. So the devil is a spirit, principalities and powers. But God said he's the head of all of this. So are we, let me read it. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, which is the church. He's the head. I'm going to ask you something. And there'll be controversy in this. But if you mash your little finger, and you ain't got no head, you don't even know you've mashed your little finger.
Right.
If it don't shoot it to your brain and said, Lord, that hurt. And then sometimes from that brain, what comes out. But do you think about it? Christ is the head. His brother's teaching out this morning, I thought about, he knows all things. How in the world can the Lord comprehend everything that Mount Vernon Church is thinking this morning? I bet there's 140 different thoughts. We're on the word for just a minute, and the head gets it every bit. But we're the body of Christ, and it's a church. So you might be a finger, and him a toe, and him a arm, and that in a leg, and that in a foot. But he gets every thought that come out of the church. Can you imagine what a forgiving God that forgives us of all that we're thinking right now?
Tell me now.
Yeah, brother.
I remember the first time I flew over Florida, and I looked down, and everything looked so perfect. Everything was laid out in squares, the streets, the part that I flew over. Maybe it ain't all that way. But I thought, how perfect that looks. But God knows everything that's going on down there. Everything that's going on down there.
Amen.
So we ought to be praising God that he delivered us out of darkness, the power of darkness.
Amen.
Amen. And let us sit in heavenly places in the church.
Amen.
And praise a living God that said he created it all. Hey, that he created it all. Everything that consists, I've done it. Principalities and powers. And he let you and me, or you and I, or me and you, ever how you want to say it, be set under heavenly places. I bet Dickie never dreamed he'd get to hear Shannon sing in church. Who knows? Who knows what God can do? Who knows? You couldn't get Shannon away from the marijuana joint. Who knows? God can. God can. And he said in the 18th verse, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is being the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, or be above. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased God, the Father in heaven, that everything was surrounded and around Jesus Christ. He gave it under his power. He gave it a power that when I get in trouble, I can't go directly to God. I've got to go through Jesus Christ. I've got to go through Jesus Christ. Then he takes it to the Father and said, Bill's in trouble. Bill's got sickness. Bill needs this. Bill just wants a blessing. Let's just bless him, Father. It's got to go through Jesus. He knows when we're going to have an operation, Roger. He knows exactly. Glory to God. So a perfect love casts out all fear. I'm working on that. I need some perfect love. Some things this week, and I tried my best, and I said, God, those three things that was on my mind and on my heart, I said, God, I can't keep a hand on this. I'm going to do everything that I can to give them to you. God, you're bigger than me. You've got all power. You're able to take care of it, and it's been a little better. I'm having trouble. It comes back in my mind, but I'm trying to give it all to God. I'm trying, God, take care of this. I can't handle it. I can't do nothing with it. I can't handle it. I'm losing my smile. I'm going to a place that I'm not satisfied with. I've got too much tied up in what I'm thinking in my mind. I need to get back on the glory road for the glory of God. Amen. Think about what I'm saying to us today. And he said, we go on. And he said, having made peace through the blood of the cross, this 20th verse, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. He is. We're a different person. We're a changed person. You'll find them. These that say they're Christians, and he said it, that don't know their pastor, don't remember for sure which church they go to, and don't even remember the last Sunday that they went. There's something wrong, honey. There's something wrong because God changed us. You know, I need to be in the house of God. This is the church, the body of Christ. And God set up the body of Christ. Let me jump over here in 2 Chronicles. Let me read just a little bit. First three verses. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He's got conflict for them he's not even seen. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. So if we get wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it's going to have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't no way. Let me jump over here to Philippians 2:1-6. 1-6, and he said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. There's more fighting and scratching in the church than there's ever been before. Maybe there's more differences in our church, in our religious groups than there's ever been before. There's more breakdowns. Where does that come from? It comes from Satan. We sit in the house of God and rebel against God and think we can stop the preached word of God. Amen. We've got preachers that's scared to death they're going to lose their pulpit. They're going to lose their people. They're going to be set down. They're going to lose their number. They're going to lose their insurance, their transportation. Got them afraid to preach the Word of God. Can I tell you something? If you want something from God, step up another step on the ladder. Amen. You will realize how big God is when He goes to fighting the battles that you can't handle. You realize how great God is when we step up a little bit. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There's more spiteful work goes on in the churches than there is in the White House. Come on, church. Amen. There's more spiteful work. I'll cut this one off. I don't like what he said. I don't like what he preached. I'm going to stop some of this. I'm going to cut him off. I remember the lady said, if he preaches past 12, there's a trap door behind the pulpit. We'll let him down to the basement. Amen. That's sweet old ladies, amen. Sweet old ladies. Maybe we need to realize, strive for vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man do his own thing. This is what I'm preaching on. Look not every man on his own thing, but let every man also on the things of others. We are living in the most safe, selfish generation that this old boy has ever seen. Amen. Our children are so spiteful and selfish with their stuff. Our children are so harsh towards each other. And I thought, when you're in sin, you'll do everything you can to blame it on somebody else. But when you really get right with God, you can say, it's me, Lord. Amen. I need help.
Amen.
It's me, Lord.
Amen.
I've come short. Amen. I ain't visited. I ain't done what you want me to do. I ain't praised you like you want me to praise you. You've not read like you wanted me to do. And if we come on down, he said in the 23rd verse, 22nd. And the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, the brother thought I was dumb. I preached this one time in another church and he said, you've got to start to continue. So do we think that the Lord would have wrote this in here, continue, if they hadn't started?
Duh.
I said, you're right, you're right. Yeah, you got to start to continue. If it don't never start, there ain't no continuing to it. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Can I tell you something? That's something else. Grounded and settled. And I thought, I'm not an electrician. Mr. Hodges, back there, raise your head up. If I had, he raised it right up. If we had 240 volts... and ain't got no ground, we ain't got no power. If we drop all the way down to 110, and we ain't got no ground, we ain't got no power. If we come down to the 12 volt on your little car, you can have the best, the brightest LED lights that'll knock everybody's eyes out. And if you ain't got no ground, you ain't got nothing. So I'm going to tell you what the Word of God said. He said, continue.
Come on.
Ooh, I felt that right up my backbone. And I believe a hair stood up on my arms. He said, be grounded and settled. I can take that ground wire and run it over to that other hot post, and it ain't worth a nickel. I've got to be grounded. I've got to be grounded.
Right, Bruce.
I've got to be grounded. I thought if your gas gauge ain't working, you can put your hot wire and screwdriver over to the ground, which you'd think would just short it plumb out. If it don't work, it's dead. It's dead. Are we grounded today? Are we settled? Are we settled on our doctrine? I'm going to tell you something Satan tries hard on a new Christian. Is unsettle him.
Yes, sir.
He'll do everything he can to unsettle you. I remember some ladies come and the fellow come out of this church. He was out for a good while. They told me he wasn't saved no way. That's what they told me. And I remember he come to their church and they said, boy, he's doing good now. He's really got saved and he's in there.
Yeah.
And I am a smart aleck firsthand. Amen. Wasn't long till he was right back on the bottle. I said, what happened? I mean, he really got it up here. Come on, church. He really got it.
Heaven, Lord.
He had it the first time. How many raise their hand and say, I ain't going to look. But how many can raise their hand and say, I know I can get out from under the hand of God. I know I can get out from under what God wants me to be. I know that I can walk away.
Amen.
I'm going to read 1 Peter here. If I can find 1 Peter. Yeah. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 14. I know I'm worrying some of you, but I got to worry you just a little bit to make you happy. It said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. He said, but rejoice. How many of us are rejoicing in our trials and our troubles? He said, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Can we get that? That's 1 Peter in the 4th chapter in the 13th verse. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when we glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. That's what the Word of God said. So let's go on to right here to what Paul's saying in the 24th verse. And he said in the first chapter of Colossians, now, said, who now rejoices in my suffering? Paul said in the 23rd verse, I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering. How many has rejoiced in their suffering lately? Come on, church. Are we what Christ wants us to be? Rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that what is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church. So he said he would suffer for the body's sake, the church. And I thought about it. He said, I'm going to fill up that that's behind. And the message today is fill up that that's empty. And I thought about, if you're empty of understanding, my friend, I need to be a soldier that can help you with your understanding. If you got a problem at your home, and we all need to be this, but if you got a problem at your home that you're not handling well, I need to be one that can help you. And Paul didn't come back to lay the foundation of Christ again. But Paul said he's filling up that as Jesus went back to heaven and sat down on the right hand of the Father. He left Paul here. This stirred my heart. I don't know what about you all. But it stirred my heart that he left Paul here. And I thought, how many books did Paul write to us? Amen. Even the books telling the church in Titus and Timothy, Amen. Thessalonians, how the church ought to be set up and to live. Because he cared for us. And he done a lot of it right out of prison. He done it in the suffering, but he was suffering for Christ's sake. He was suffering as Christ did. And he said, I'm going to fill up that that's lacking, that that's coming along. And I thought about maybe even before the law was written, but maybe before all this was written down, because Paul was going through this, and this wasn't written until Paul got time to write it down, and then it was translated and brought to us. But I thought about, glory to God, if as the troubles come, before this was written down, they didn't know. And Paul wanted to be of help to them. So he come right in behind Christ, and he wanted to fulfill and measure up to that, fill that was empty. Feel that was empty. So when you see a brother or a sister, and we all do it, lose our smile and lose our joy, let's don't pump ourselves up and say, I knew they'd fall. I knew they wasn't going to make it. Let's get down to where they're at and see if we can help their joy. See if we can help bring them back just a little bit. There's times in my life I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody once in a while to pat me on the back. I'm just human, just like all the rest. I need a little something from somebody that I can see, because my faith that I can't see sometimes has got weak. I need somebody to help me. These troubles at my house, can I tell you something? I'm doing everything I can to put more in the hands of the Lord. Step up one more notch on the ladder, and then I'll get some more of Satan. Glory to God, and I'm going to realize I am a child of God. We need our understanding enlightened. So many say, why has God done this to me? God ain't done this to you. God wants you to go to heaven. If you're lost, God wants you saved. He wants us in His will. He wants us to be alive to this lost and dying world. He is God, and He said, beside me there ain't none other. Praise His holy name. Glory be unto God. Does this make sense to you? Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind. I just said, fill up that which is empty. You know, there's people probably sitting here that ain't got a prayer through in a pretty good while. And part of the reason so much body pain, and part of the reason so much trouble in the body, amen, we can't even reach the head. We can't even reach into God. We just ain't got a prayer through because it's all about my affliction. What if Paul had to sit down over there in Rome in the jail? He said, Lord God, I just can't get out of here. Why have you put me here? Said, I got saved. You saved me on the road to Damascus, and you blinded me and you opened my eyes. Now here I am in jail. What am I going to do? He said, I'm going to write to that bunch at Mount Vernon. Woo! I'm glad. He said, I'm going to write to that bunch at Mount Vernon. I'm going to give them some of the affliction that I had and let them know understanding and knowledge straight from God. When trouble comes, they can overcome it. When trouble comes, they can smile and go through it. Oh, I look back through some of my life, and if it hadn't been for Jesus, I don't know where I'd have been. Amen. I don't know where I'd have been. Amen. I got several more things needs preaching. Hebrews 2 and 12 said, I will deliver thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. So there, the writer of Hebrews said, I'll deliver your name. I'm going to take that one's name that's in trouble, I'll deliver it. And I'm going to sing praises unto God in the midst of the church. And that one is lost. I remember Chris Oakley, I think he still kind of holds it against me. He said, I told on him, and I did. I told his daddy, I said, the boy said he's in school. He wasn't in school. I sent him over to that girl's house. I said, he's lied to you. He lied to you. He said, Preacher Bill will tell on you. I said, get out now and I'll tell on you again, brother. Amen. We've tried to keep all this undercover and God knows it. But if I don't call out your name, how do you know you need prayer? Let me call out Bill's name. I need prayer. I got a graveside service at 2 o'clock. Amen. And I'm sure them in the grave ain't going to praise God with me. Hello?
Bless them, Lord.
And then I'm helping in the funeral, I ain't going to. And if I don't, four or five of them rentals come around and help me, I'm just going to praise God by myself. How about it? How about it? That's where we're. It ain't all about praise. It ain't all about praise. But he said Paul rejoiced in prison because he heard good news about the church. There's nothing lifts this old boy up any higher than to hear about one of our members telling somebody else about Jesus. Or one of our members mentioning that we had a great service. Or that somebody had been so far down and they got delivered from the power of darkness. And the first thing Satan does anymore to me, I hope they really got it. I hope they stick with it. I hope they don't get out of their trouble and go right back to it. Y'all ever think like that? We all just alike, bless our hearts. We're all just alike. Some of us think we're better, but you're going to die just like I do. Amen. Matthew 16 and 18, one of my very favorite verses of all times. And he said, thou art Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What I'm saying today, that I believe God has put us here to fill that one that's empty. that one has not been spiritual lately, or that one has been through so much trouble and so much pain, or maybe that one that's never been saved. I believe God brings us together under the head, Jesus Christ, as a church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. To fill up that Jesus couldn't do when he left. It was mentioned there, and I had read that, but that Jesus didn't baptize none, but his disciples did.
Mm-hmm.
His disciples did. Jesus couldn't be in every place physically, in the flesh, and till we could see him. But he sent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God,
amen,
to dwell in us, for us to help that one, for us to recognize. We need some discerning of the Spirit. We need to see some things that's happening around us. We need to be there and lend a helping hand. We need to be there to fill that empty soul. We need there to be there to tell them the truth. Sin can't enter in. But glory to God, you can be delivered from the power of sin, the power of darkness, the power of Satan. Stand, if you will, to your feet. Let's get us a song.